So today's gospel is a drama in three short acts. And on one level, it's about the illusion of our individuality, the illusion of our separateness from one another and from God. Act 1. Jesus was setting out on a journey. A man ran up and knelt down before him. Any of you ever have that happen to you? Anybody ever? Father Chris? Only at staff meetings? Okay. This guy clearly wanted to be noticed. And then he asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Obey the commandments." Check. But then comes the real lesson. And it might be just this: be very careful what you ask Jesus, because his answer will be completely true. Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "You are lacking one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, then come follow me." His face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Obviously, this guy did not expect the answer he got. What do you think he had in mind when he stopped Jesus so bombastically? So, "Hey, look at me." I think maybe he just wanted a public endorsement from this rising star rabbi. He wants maybe this good teacher to give him a good grade. Today we might call it an arranged photo opportunity. But Jesus doesn't play along. It sort of reminds me of Pope Francis right after he spoke to Congress. He passed up an invitation to dine with our august congressional leaders in order to do what? To go feed the homeless. Jesus invites this man to give up the source of his self-importance. He's offering him a lesson in the futility of imagining that wealth can be a source of personal identity or permanent security or of anything at all that is worthwhile from the standpoint of the kingdom of God. Yes, of course, it can be used as a tool to do good things. But if we think of wealth in any form as ours to keep, it can become an insurmountable barrier to our own growth of spirit and soul and our unity with others and with God. This man's sadness is not because he has great wealth. It is because he cannot let go of it. It is that his wealth has him. Act 2. Children. Did you notice? Jesus calls his disciples children. Remember last week, just a few verses earlier in this Mark's gospel, Jesus praised the children for their ability to trust completely in God's goodness. He says, "Children, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom." That's impossible. Right. For us, with our human limitation, holding on to our illusion of being self-sufficient, of being separate from God or from God's creation, it is completely impossible. But when we reconnect as a child in the arms of a loving parent, when we reconnect to our status as already joined with one another, whether we like it or not, and already fully loved by God, then the impossible is accomplished. The beautiful first reading today from Wisdom tells us this beautifully. To know our connection to God and all of God's creation makes every silly little symbol of individual independence and wealth visible as the illusion, as the joke that it is. Act 3. Peter says, "We have given up everything and followed you." And then Jesus makes the promise. "No one has given up any of these things, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more houses and brothers and sisters and children and mothers and lands." But did you catch the phrase? "With persecutions in this age and eternal life in the age to come." With persecutions. We are directed to unite with those who are systematically oppressed, mistreated, abused, discriminated against. That's the definition of persecution. We're directed explicitly to these people. Might be on a grand scale. For that, we need a real active community of faith. But we also have to act on the personal level, because active communities can only come from active persons. And this requires divine grace, because the people we are called to serve might, at first, be people from whom our limited selfish self would rather remain separated. Pope Francis is doing a truly inspired job of holding this truth up to the world right now. But it's a struggle, isn't it? I speak from great and continuing personal guilt in this regard. I think we all share this struggle. Maybe it's a call to serve someone who has insulted me in fact or in my imagination. Maybe it's a call to serve someone who has generally injured you. Maybe we just don't like the group we are called to serve. We judge them as not rich enough, not of our partisan view, not trying hard enough. Maybe they have a scary illness. But all of those things are non-essential things. There is only one essential thing: to follow the good teacher. If we are to act as a community of disciples, we must be made up of individuals who are disciples, acting at the personal level. Father James Martin is a Jesuit who's a wonderful journalist and author. And in one of his online statements this week, he put it beautifully, so I will leave you with his words. "You know at least one person who is poor or sick or lonely or grieving or jobless. So what are you waiting for?